Well, I just want to share a little bit tonight. I believe we're going to wrap up our series here. We're wrapping it up after like 15 weeks. I actually lost track of the weeks on what is the gospel. We did like 15 or more. I can't even remember now. What is the gospel? And it was the longest series I've ever done. I've never done more than like maybe 6, 7 weeks on anything. And we're certainly not done with the gospel, amen? Any other subject that we do dare to explore is in light of Christ and his finished works, in light of the heaven on earth reality. And it's really just getting to know the very foundation of reality is good news. Is Jesus Christ and him crucified, is his life, death, and resurrection, his incarnation, his ascension, that everything would be rooted and grounded in him and his message. Woo! So it's been super fun. If you've missed the last like several weeks, I just encourage you to go back. They're all on YouTube. They will be uploaded to the podcast whenever I get around to it. But they are already on YouTube. And we are, and for those of you that are kind of new, just hopping in here, maybe you're just at Kynos or maybe you just haven't been in a while. Wednesday nights, we do more of a teaching kind of focus. And then every other Sunday, it's like just open fellowship, open table. And this Sunday, we are going to be meeting as well. If you want to come and bring a word, a prophecy, a tongue, just something you've been experiencing, something you want to share with the group, or you have questions. Sundays are a lot more interactive. Also, Brian Schiltz is going to lead worship this Sunday. Woo! So if you want to experience some of that, if you are just here, you know the glory of Brian's music. Really beautiful New Covenant worship. So we always start our Sundays with New Covenant worship, and then we get into general fellowship. But on Wednesdays, we do a bit more teaching. And part of that is just because there really isn't a lot of finished work revelation out there. Or a lot of times when we travel, we meet people that say, I wish I had a place where I could fellowship around the grace message, around the gospel of union, inclusion, and the finished work of Christ. And so from March of this year, we started and we've just been meeting every Wednesday night and every other Sunday. And it's been really rich. It's been really glorious. We've seen some cool manifestations and we've just reveled and basked. We also do Monday night prayer parties almost every Monday night. We were too whacked this Monday. We actually just canceled it. First time I've ever canceled a Monday, but it was if you were here Monday, you know what happened. But we'll be back every Monday night as well for those prayer parties. But we're going to have some guest leaders over the next month because Katie and I will be going to Nepal. We will be in the air or on the ground. We're going to the Rainbow Gathering. We are going to minister in Nepali churches. If you would pray for us. Yeah, Glory Auntie's coming with us. Anybody else in here coming with us? I don't know who all is going with us. It's drunk. We got a good team, though. It's going to be fun. So, yeah, pray for us over these next few weeks as we travel. And then tune in. We will have some guest leaders, Maddie Beasley, next Wednesday night. I just wanted to wrap it up, you know, as old Ken Hagen used to say, try to wrap it up. Can somebody come up here and please help me wrap it up? We spent weeks and weeks. We just spent months exploring what is the gospel. And it's a substantial gospel, amen. There is substance to this message. This isn't just a shallow. God wants to make your life a little bit better. God wants to give you some money. God maybe wants to forgive you, but you're just going to suffer and endure until you die and someday go off somewhere for pie in the sky. This is a gospel of substance, namely the substance of the person of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and. I think to wrap it up, there's no better way to wrap it up than just to bring it back around to the person of Jesus Christ. the person who we just partook of in his body and blood, whom you are partaking 24/7 if you're a living, breathing human. You cannot escape his presence. You cannot escape his being, his love. He is the gospel. The answer to all those questions on that little square graphic we did was just, what is the gospel? Where is the gospel? Who is the gospel? When is it's Jesus. And we did take a whole session just exploring that. I just thought we could read some of the greatest writings on Jesus Christ ever written. Some of the most focused gospel revelations of all time tonight. And those come from the epistles of Paul. I want to read a few passages from the epistles of Paul. If you have a Bible, if you're tuning in tonight and you're still, you know, honestly, we're all just sniffing the cork on the gospel. And I mean that in a real tangible way. There is an actual clarity that comes. See, a lot of people think that like theology and manifestation are separate. They're like, well, I'm more of a theologian. I'm more of a manifester, or I'm more of a drinker. I'm more into study. It's all in the person of Jesus Christ, who has a message, who has an actual message. When you gain clarity on it, it enhances your drink. And when you drink, you get more clarity, you know? And so to me, it's become more and more important to see him, to taste him, to experience him with clarity, like to that the eyes of our understanding, as Paul prayed, would be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding, when we can talk about Jesus all day long, but when the eyes of your understanding are open and you see, wow, the God man, you see why the early church fathers and mothers spent hundreds of years like making sure that we understood that Jesus is fully God, fully man, as our YouTube sensation says, fully God, fully man. Fully God, fully man. Just to give you a little earworm. It's a huge deal. For hundreds of years, the church, you know, tried to bring some clarity to a reality. You'll read like in the writings of Irenaeus, the writings of all the way from Polycarp to Maximus, to these Anti-Nicene fathers. They're clarifying like, is how is Jesus both God and man? Was he just God sometimes that transformed into man sometimes? Was he, you know, does he take on different modes? Does he appear in different places? Was he man for a while and then he went up? Was he man from all eternity past? There's a lot of like hundreds of years of early church fathers bringing clarity on this stuff because it's so huge. He himself is the gospel. So just seeing him, I can't tell you how many churches I've been to, how many meetings I've been to, where you can just tell that nobody's excited about Jesus anymore. They might be excited about being excited about Jesus. You know, it's like, have you ever been to those churches where they're not worshiping God, they're worshiping the worship? Have you ever been to those prayer meetings where they're more excited about prayer than they are about God? You know, a lot of times we're excited about being excited about Jesus because we feel like our human zeal is what matters. Like we're more excited about a movement. In fact, that's something that I found myself sharing last night at Hillside was, you know, we come off a weekend like Kynos. Hillside is our local Tuesday night and our local community. But sometimes we come off a weekend like Kynos and we're more excited about the movement. You know, we're excited that we had great meetings and we're excited that something's happening. But guys, it's all about Jesus. It's actually about Jesus. It's not about us placing Jesus first. It's about Jesus himself. It's not about, you know, and I love how John Crowder says there's a big difference between Christocentrism and Christology, because Christocentrism is about us trying to make Jesus the center. Christology is saying Jesus is the center, whether you like it or not. You know, like Jesus is the reality. Jesus is Lord. Jesus brought heaven and earth together. You don't have it. It doesn't depend on you. You don't have to put him first. He is first. You can notice it or not notice it. You can notice him or not notice. You can The gospel is good news, whether you believe it or not, whether you make it central in your life or not. The gospel is really, really good news, and it's going to be real no matter what. So looking at some of these passages in the epistles of Paul, and I've encouraged folks for years since getting this revelation myself, like to go and spend some time basking in Paul, basking especially in the first few chapters of Paul's epistles to get rooted and grounded in the gospel. And most people think they already understand this stuff. I want to read a few sections tonight and just look at them again. Just look at it. Let our Christology just be solidified. Because if we continue in this Jubilee Online Church, or you just continue in the Christian life in general, without the gospel being your goggles, being your lens, being your awareness, being your reality, being everything, there's really no point to carry on without the gospel. All we have left is religion. All we'll end up with is being thrown back upon ourselves until we see that he has brought heaven and earth together once and for all. He has brought all of God and all of man together once for all. We don't make it happen. We don't put him first. We don't yield to it enough, surrender to it enough, anything enough to make anything happen. It's here. He's here. He came. I have a friend who said, what's the simplest way you can say the gospel? He said, I think two words, he came.
Yeah.
Woo, he came. So, let's look at a few passages here. Johnny, do you have your hand up or are you just praising the Lord? He put his hand down. He was just praising the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. My God. If you dare pop a cork, you can pop a cap or you can pop a cork. Colossians chapter 1 is certainly a cork to be popped. That brings it all back home. That brings the gospel all back home. In fact, does anybody want to read it for us so you don't have to just hear my voice the whole time? But I want to read 8 verses, though, boys and girls. 8 verses. Colossians 1, 15 to 23. Can you do 15 to 23 for us, brother?
Yeah.
Can you? All right, hang on a second. I'm going to put it over to you. This is Aubrey reading the Bible for us.
I once read the entire book out loud in a British accent. I'm thinking I might do it again.
Please, Lord,
let me. Yay! Well, you can do it in whatever accent. Do 15 to 23, bro.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to say real quick that me and
Dominic
were these exact verses today, getting jammered and slammered in it, but amen. So that's exciting.
Whatever translation you prefer, my dude. 15 to 23.
I guess this is good. All right. He is the image of the invisible God, the first of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together. That's not really British, whatever.
It's funny. It is funny, though.
Yes.
Francois in the house.
And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him
to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross.
Do the 20 all the way to 23.
Okay. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in the mind, doing evil things. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from hope, from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all of creation under heaven, and which I, Paul, became a minister.
Thanks, Paul.
Was that Francois' brother, Frank Dutoot from America?
Frank Dutoot. That sounded like Francois.
I don't know what accent that was, but it was drunk.
But all gray has to read now all the time.
Yeah. She's going to make you the official
reader.
Aubrey's
got the reading ministry now, because I want to hear the gospel one day, because he just make me drunk and my ears, I'm crying out to Jesus. I mean, let me finally hear the gospel, because I get so wet that I don't understand the words anymore. Why? I mean, let me hear the gospel, Jesus.
There's so much richness in those words. There's so much wealth, the wealth and the substance. We just pass over this stuff, like where he says, through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth and in heaven. Woo! I just want to slowly just let these soak over us again, you know, just slowly. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. Yes. Like, firstly, we don't even realize that, you know, when Jesus shows up, he says, none of you know God. You remember that in John 6, I believe it was. He says to all the religious leaders of the day, he's like, on all the searching, we can search all we want, but unless God reveals himself in the person of Jesus, this is why, you know, there's so much spiritual seeking that goes on, and we begin to be impressed by what we discover, but there is nothing that we can discover. It's only by the gift of revelation of Jesus Christ. This is where so many prophecies, prophetic movements, and things get all weird, because we're trying to listen, we're trying to hear, we're trying to seek. The spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, because only he reveals God. Woo! So looking at the image of the invisible God, Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, and all that he reveals. Woo. Verse 16, by him all things were created. Our brother Terry Tittle last night brought in George MacDonald's book, Christ the Creator, right? Is that what it was?
Creation in Christ.
Creation in Christ. And sometimes we forget that Jesus Christ himself says, by him all things were created. It wasn't just the Father and Jesus shows up sometime later on the scene. But from the beginning, Jesus Christ himself was, where does it say? In 18 it says, he is the beginning. Verse 18, Jesus Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He's Alpha, Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. All things were created for him and through him. In fact, that's the next passage I want to go to. Where did this go? Let me see if I can find it. Somewhere in the Bible it says, John chapter 1. You want some crack? Just get your Bible. Crack it open to John chapter 1. Let's just look at the first. We're just closing with Jesus passages tonight. We're going to wrap this series up with some Jesus passages. I mean, the dank stuff. The dank. Colossians 1 is so dank. Maybe we'll come back to it in a minute because we're certainly not in a hurry. But John chapter 1, and if you've heard Baxter, you know, I mean, Dr. C. Baxter Kruger goes over this chapter over and over, and we still haven't got it. We still don't. We all think we've got it. But John chapter 1, and I'm skipping ahead real quick, but it says, all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. I think sometimes we still think that he's an afterthought, you know? But John 1, 1 to 5 says, in the beginning was the Word. Ooh. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The gospel is not just an add-on message for later on that kind of helps. The gospel is Jesus, the Word from the beginning. And we can worship this Word because the Word is God himself. The Word, I came across this post today because I like sports. I like the sportings. You like the sports? I like to watch the sports. And somebody was sharing a quote from a famous football player in America. And it got 41,000 shares or something. And it was it said, all praise be to Jesus who sits next to God. And I just thought to myself, that's cool. I mean, I'm glad it got 41,000 shares about Jesus, but Jesus is God, you know? And it just reminds me, I was doing a study with some of my local buddies here, and we found that one of those George Barna research surveys or whatever of how many Christians in America, Christians don't believe that Jesus was God. Yeah. Like they think that God basically is the Father and Jesus is a man or something. And that was from the church. It was something like, 50% or something, some crazy number of Christians in America don't believe that Jesus is God. And yeah, it's just like nuts, you know? And you just realize we haven't spent any time reading the scripture or, you know, meditating or just even considering the gospel is, if Jesus isn't fully God and fully man, we have no gospel. There is no gospel. All we have left then are works. Why? Because the whole point, the thing that we're all longing for, the thing that we all want is union. Like everybody is living for union, to be understood and to be, in fact, more than understood, but to be one with love, like to be intertwined. And so we're looking for that in everything. And the only way we have that is when we experience union with God. But if someone else didn't do it for us, then it's up to us to make that happen. And so the gospel of Jesus being in his own person, fully God and fully man, brings us into that interpenetrating union, that union with love himself, with love itself, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as a pure gift already done. So as soon as we stop believing that Jesus is God and he's just a man, then all of a sudden he's just our example. Maybe he's our substitute, but he's certainly not the gospel itself. He's certainly not the union of heaven and earth. Now we're left back under ourselves to make that union happen. So I just thank God that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, not anything was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Isn't that interesting that even from the beginning, his life was the light of men? Woo! It was already like something of humanity from the very beginning inside of Christ, inside of Jesus, though he was the pre-incarnate one. Before he manifested in the flesh, he was still somehow the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Somehow in him was life, and the life was the light of men from all eternity past. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Woo! You ever have a day where you feel like darkness is winning? Remember Jesus. Jesus, Jesus loves the little children. Yo! The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Some say has not comprehended it, which is true. The darkness can't comprehend the light, but I think that translation is accurate. The darkness doesn't win. There's no victory. Holy glory. Let's look at a couple other of these juicy Jesus passages. Juicy J. Anybody read Hebrews 1 lately? Young, young, young. If you ever want to get super whacked, it doesn't matter the translation. You want to hear the gospel. You want to get super jacked up? Read Hebrews chapter 1. I want to read Hebrews 1, 1 to 6. Anybody want to read it for us?
I want to read.
Melody. Light it up.
Let me find it first. Let me find it.
No worries.
Melody, melody, melody. Woohoo.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Hebrews 1, right?
Yeah, read the first. Okay. Whatever you choose the translation, your choice.
Okay, King James. All right, here we go. Okay. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's okay. So good. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Melody. Whoa, 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 whoa.
You're welcome.
Whoa, Ooh. Just bask in the glory of these words. You know, that's the very, very first part of Hebrews. Like, this is what I love about so many of the epistles. Like, we miss the preeminence of Christ. That's the very first thing. That's like, that's the foundation of it all. That's, he is everything. And I love it. At the very beginning, he said, verse 2, in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the whole world. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Ooh. We're pressing in for a revival. We're trying to get the glory. We're trying to, whatever we think we need, he is. He is the radiance of the glory. He is the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's what I love. People have been saying lately, like, all right, do you know if you're in Christ? Well, are you a part of the universe? Do you exist inside the universe? Because he upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. He is the word upholding the universe. And it says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having been much superior to angels. Above all the angelic ministry, above all the glorious things, the glorious manifestations. I love angels, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of glory on angels. He's far above, he's seated far above. Everybody's looking for a word, you know. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Well, we might as well go to my favorite, personally, what's transformed me the most was Ephesians chapter 1. Yo. But I want you to notice in these passages again, they're all about Jesus. Like, how many times his name is mentioned? Excuse me. How many times it says Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ, or Christ? You know? I'm going to read a few verses here. Shaga, laga, 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 laga. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, and the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. I love that phrase so much. Inside of the beloved. This gospel is not, it's nothing until we understand it's all about Jesus, inside of him, inside of the beloved. Oh, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on. Just say the word lavished. Ooh. He lavished on us all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. Listen, the meaning of life is not confusing anymore. Everyone's like, that's an unanswerable question. No, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of the times. It's a lot of phrases, but it gets right to it here. To unite all things in him. Ooh, there it is. The meaning of life, that all things would be united in him. Things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Might be. I love that. What's your role? It's just to be to the praise of his glory. Woo! In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the full possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I love, this is Paul's prayer, man. And this is still my favorite prayer. If I'm going to ask for anything, I ask that the Father of glory would give us a spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. Of him. And man, I just, all these passages, you know, the apostles, the writers of the epistles were so adamant over and over that we just come back to looking at him, to being obsessed with him, to being that, you know, there's no other great, you know, prophetic thing. There's so much busyness, so much, you know, activity around our lives, so much activity in the church. There's so much whatever. When we just look at him, notice him, see what's in his eyes, but more, you know, it's realizing what he's done, what he's placed us into. He's not just like any other, you know, teacher or guru that's pointing some way. He himself is the way. He himself is our peace. He himself is the union of heaven and earth. He himself is our gospel. He's our message. It's him. And as we stare, as we just keep looking, all our questions get answered. You know, I don't know all the answers, but we know Jesus, you know, who is the answer. We know, we look at him. And I guess, you know, after all these sessions talking about, you know, what is the gospel, the union of heaven and earth, what are we actually saying? Are we saying that, you know, or are we actually saying we're healed? We're actually saying that we're set free from all demons, all devils? All the goodies are in Jesus Christ. Every goodie. If you can imagine it, it's in him. If you can't imagine it, if it's better than your imagination, it's in him. It's in this union. It's in the person of the God-man that has nothing to do with our efforts and abilities, but it has everything to do with his efforts and abilities. Has everything to do with what he's done, what he's placed us into. So let me kind of bring this to a bit of a close with a quote that, and I've heard Baxter share this many times, but J.B. Torrance was Baxter's professor. And the very last session that JB taught before he retired and then passed away, this is a quote from something that JB said in his last session. Let's see if I can find it here. I'll put it up on your screen here. It says, concepts or the person of Christ Jesus. The aim of our conversation is the communication of the person of Christ. J.B. Torrance's last comments to his postgraduate students in the last seminar he did before he retired, he said, what we need is not a new doctrine or a clearer doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. What we need is not better Christology. What we need is Christ. What we need is not Trinitarian doctrine, but a relationship with the Trinity itself. And that is the difference. And this is Baxter's comments. He says, we always run the risk, especially in theology and the church, we always run the risk of falling in love with concepts. Those concepts are there to be a pair of glasses to allow us to see, understand, to know who God is, to know who we are in relation to God. So yes, the bottom line, Christ Jesus is the center of everything. Not just truth about Jesus, but Jesus himself. And in him, the Father, Son, and Spirit. I love the glasses. Melody's wearing her glory glasses right now. And theology is like our glasses that we wear. That, you know, we spent some of these weeks we were talking about some of the concepts. You know, Jesus did have a message. Some people say, I just need to know God. I don't need to know theology. Well, that's like saying, I'm not going to listen to anything Jesus says. I just want to sit with Jesus. Well, if he says something, it's probably pretty important, you know. But it's true that he himself is more important than anything. He himself, we don't just need better understanding. We don't just need better concepts. We do need those things. And I thank God, you know, who are you? I got buzz, I got ding, 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 ding. We're soaking in these realities that our minds are being changed, being transformed. And that transforms everything. But the person of Jesus is the gospel. He is the word revealed. He said, without Jesus, none of us know the Father. You cannot know the Father. You cannot know the Holy Spirit without Jesus, because he is the word. He's the communication of everything. So we keep looking at him. There's no prophecy without Jesus. There's no fruit without Jesus. There's not all things. All, just say all things. Without all him, things. Not anything was made that was made. Every goodie, every gift, every all fruit is in him. All in all. Jesus Christ is all and in all. Greater than our concepts, greater than our contemplation, much greater than our worship, much greater than our ministry. Yang, 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 jing, jing, jing. He did something. He did something.
Yo.
Another glorious quote from JB and TF. I forget who said it first, but it's the person and work cannot be separated. We love proclaiming what Jesus did at the cross. We love proclaiming what he accomplished for us on our behalf. But he himself, the person, in his person, he holds all things together. Ooh, we find heaven and earth in his eyes. He himself is our heaven. What was it? Catherine of Siena said, all the way to heaven is heaven, for Jesus Christ is the way. Ooh. Shing, ding, ding. So, guys, I think that's pretty much, you know, wrapping up these gospel sessions. We're wrapping it up with Jesus. We began in him. It's all through him. Woo! Notice him right now. Notice him in your physical body. Whoa! Notice him inside every synapse of your mind. Notice him in your earlobe. Notice him in your neighbor, you know? Christ all around me, on my left and my right. Christ all above me and beneath me, all my days and my nights. Oh, shaga laga 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 laga. We have a Savior. We have a Lord. We did not make him Savior. We do not make him Lord. Hey, he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly glory. And we are right there with him. Forevermore.
Ooh. We're surrounded like a marshmallow, baby.
Like a marshmallow.
Bam.
Just like a big old marshmallow. Bam. Yes. Oh, let's close out with one last scripture from John 14:20. The good old Jesus sharing with us. Let's see if I have a mirror translation of it. No, I don't. Let's see. Oh, I got it. Let's see what the message says. Oh, yeah, here it is. The message. We'll do a little line of the message. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in my Father, and you are in me. And I am in you. Lord, I just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened, the spirit of wisdom and revelation to, in this very moment, know absolutely that we are in the Father. The Father is in us. That Jesus is in us and that we are in Jesus. Ooh. Who in himself is heaven and earth united, reunited, and it feels so good. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Oh, Hayden's got it for us. In that day, you will know that we are in seamless union with one another. I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. Seamless union. Shukarabada. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the joy of the gospel. We thank you that it's transforming our lives, knowing reality, waking up out of darkness, waking up out of the illusions of separation, distance, and delay, waking up to the whole earth full of the glory because Jesus. Because Jesus. Amen. Woo!